RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
What a gorgeous weather day here in the tri-state.
Rain, rain, rain.
Evan and Tiki here to start the final week of 2025. A week from today, we will be in the middays. Tiki and I have you for the next 4.5 hours or so up until Keith McPherson making a 6:30 stop by tonight on The Fan. And Tiki, we've gotten to the end of week 17 in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And when you and I said yes to coming in on this Monday, I don't know what the hell we'd be talking about, but boy, did these teams give us plenty to chew on.
Look, I thought we'd be talking about a Giants team that was scrappy out of it, but still playing good football. And having won their third game of the season, I actually felt pretty good yesterday watching this team, because this is what they should have been doing all, at least the latter half of the season. Instead, they were finding ways to lose games. They were frustrating the fan base. They were seeding doubt in the Jackson Dart future. Mm-hmm. People talking about Fernando Mendoza at least being a thought, Evan. And instead, what you see, and I give credit to Mike Kafka and this, and really just the team, they kept playing through all of this.
They did.
Some of these guys have started to get really good, including and especially Abdul Carter, who had a fantastic game again. That's just now his third one in a row. It helps when you want to go to work early and you want to stay extra time and you want to perfect your craft as a professional, the good things that come about. And then most importantly, Jackson Dart looked good.
Yeah. And look, we're going to touch on the Jets in just a couple of moments. But just on that note with the Giants, there's going to be a lot of fans and a lot of fan calls, and Tiki, we know we're going to get them.
Yep.
And I know I had my frustrations, too, with the idea of, well, you blew the number one overall pick. First of all, no, the Giants did not. Still, according to the Power Index, a 10% chance to get the number one pick. I actually think it's very much in play with a Chief team playing the Raiders, but who the hell knows who's going to play for what with Kansas City.
I don't know, but Geno Smith has already been ruled out.
Might be a win for the Raiders next week with Kenny Pickett playing for a job. More on that in a little bit, but you hit on it for a couple reasons. I felt in many ways robbed as a Giants fan yesterday, Tiki, that I sat down and the moment the game kicks off, Kevin Harlan does the whole scene set and the last words out before the ball gets tipped is, based on all of what happened in the early games, if the Giants lose this game, they will clinch the number one pick. We found out the moment the ball was getting kicked. Now, Tiki, I tell you, as a fan, not take the player off of it,
right,
a fan sit on the couch that gets there 3 hours of their team's football every week. When that's the last thing you hear when the ball gets kicked, what the hell position is that for a fan base to be in?
It's not a good one. So the problem is now all of a sudden, because you're no longer upset about losing.
No.
It doesn't matter how it happens. You're not going to get pissed off if they blow a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter. You're not going to get pissed off if Jackson Dart gets sacked 8 times and they just suck and it just is what it is. You're just used to it.
Yes.
And so you accept it. But then 3 series in, is when the Giants go down. Devin Singletary has that 29-yard run, gets down to the 1-yard line. They score a touchdown. It's 7-0. And you're like, two things. The Giants are going to easily win this game because the Raiders suck.
Yeah, the Bobby Okereke pick was obviously that moment for me.
100%. And then the turn, like the flip in your mindset of, I want number one, two, let's just win this game. It got hard. It got
it's
hard for people.
It's
from
hard.
From a fan base, I understand it.
Yeah.
But also, when it was, I don't know, 14-3 maybe, 17-3 right before halftime, in my mind, I started saying, you know what? They suck. Just beat their ass.
Yeah.
Like, hand it to them. Just beat their butt. That's what I wanted to feel after I realized there was no way the Raiders were beating the Giants.
No doubt, Tiki. So this is the way I looked at it and approached it by the end of the game, which is if the Giants were going to win that game versus the Raiders, it had to be that way.
Mm.
If I'm going to win a game as a fan that I'm finding out moments for kick, I really should be swayed in the position of losing. It better look that way. It better not be a meandering 16-13 listless win where they hand the ball off 45 times and they don't let dart be dart. You mentioned Abdul Carter. For the third straight week, he has responded since, mm-hmm. you know, he was late to meetings and doing whatever else, and he looks like the elite pass rusher they drafted. And on the flip side, Jackson Dart, who I thought had a very important quote to, I'm forgetting her name, the CBS sideline reporter before the game, that he...
Melanie Collins
had said that Jackson Dart said, you know, he told the coaches, I'm not Joe Flacco. I'm not going to sit... This was a direct quote on the TV broadcast. I'm not going to sit back there and just be this pocket pass. You have to let me be me. And I'm paraphrasing the quote, but he used Joe Flacco as the example. They didn't let him be Joe Flacco yesterday. He looked like the quarterback we saw use his legs.
Yeah.
I know you and I were texting back and forth. Design runs where he was getting small. He was getting out of bounds when he had to get out of bounds. That's the Jackson Dart that the Giants are going to need to lean on, we hope, for the next decade. He's got to play football that way. He's got to stay healthy, but he's got to use his legs. And if the Giants were going to win a game and play themselves out of the first overall pick, at least it happened because, in my mind, the four most important players on the field yesterday were rookies that should be a part of this and learning how to win. And I'm including Darius Alexander, who had another sack there, the third-round pick, and Marcus Bowe at left tackle yesterday, who I thought was fantastic. So if you're going to win, you're going to blow a number one pick, it better be because you're rookies. Who are the guys you know definitively are going to be here next year are a big engine as to why, and they kicked the Raiders' ass as a result of those guys.
Yes. Now, I don't know if I brought it to air on the pregame yesterday, but I'll say it here as well. There were a lot of reports floating around before the game yesterday about Jackson Dart's view, how people viewed him within the organization.
That was an Ian Rappaport report on the pregame show.
Exactly. And essentially what it was saying, and I'm going to paraphrase and whatever, make it mine, but people were saying, well, the Giants have some doubts about Jackson Dart because of the concussion that he sustained in the Chicago game. And despite being in the tent multiple times, as we've said frequently, he's only been diagnosed with one concussion. So I get it. He takes hits. Quarterbacks to take hits, they get put in a tent. He got diagnosed with one concussion in 2025 this season so far. And as a result, these reports were saying the Giants are going to start thinking about Fernando Mendoza. The mantra that Evan has been talking about regarding whoever the new head coach comes in, what if he wants to consider Fernando Mendoza? You have to at least consider it. It's nonsense. And the reason I brought it up on the pregame show is because we all remember two off seasons ago when all the reporting around the quarterbacks that were coming out were, you know, J.J. McCarthy. The Giants really love J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy has been in here, you know, three times already. He's telling people the Giants are drafting him. And what did I say? I said, this is a giant smokescreen.
Yeah.
This is nonsense. I can promise you they do not want J.J. McCarthy. And obviously they didn't take J.J. McCarthy. And you know what happened? The Giants kind of waited and got what they wanted a year later at quarterback. This is the same thing. This is Giant personnel or whoever it is manipulating media to get a narrative out there that makes their pick, whether it's one or two, really interesting.
Yes.
Because now people are going to start saying, oh, they might move on from Jackson Dart. If we want our quarterback, we got to go trade with the New York Giants.
Exactly.
That's all that is. It's way too early, by the way. And to me, it's annoyingly early.
Oh,
but
dude,
it's way too early speculation about moving on from a really good quarterback. Who, by the way, I mean, if he had missed some games with concussion or he had started at the start of the season, he'd be the rookie of the year.
Right. And honestly, right now, Tyler Shuck has emerged as the favorite.
Yes.
Jackson Dart's still having a better year than Tyler Shuck. He's almost being punished because of missing those games. I'm with you. It's a complete smokescreen, and we're going to get a million more smokescreens, and it's what's going to make us talking about the draft nauseating.
Yes.
But ultimately, I will get into it in about 22 minutes, why that was not the worst case. I've talked myself off the ledge and why that's fine. But we do have to turn the page to something.
Mm-hmm.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
What you saw out of the New York Giants yesterday, at a bare minimum, with an interim coach who feels like he's a dead man walking, with some veterans who had been easy to check out, you saw a team have the want to.
Yes.
As Tiki Barber likes to say, the give, the care. And Tiki, like the gluttonous NFL pig I was, I absorbed all the games and all the TVs. I saw a team like the Miami Dolphins, who should have entered yesterday in total quit mode, beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I saw the Cleveland Browns, where Kevin Stefanski feels like he's a dead man walking in Cleveland, turn around versus their rival Steelers and put them on the precipice of elimination Sunday night. I saw teams starting Tyler Huntley and Malik Willis go dual threats at each other Saturday night, play hard. I saw backup quarterback, third string quarterback in Kansas City nearly beat the Denver Broncos on Christmas night. I saw Max Brosmer get the best of a Jared Goff Lions team on Christmas. Now, why am I laying out all these crappy quarterbacks and all these crappy teams? What the hell is the excuse for what the New York Jets laid out yesterday and what they've continued to lay out since, you know, for the last 4 weeks,
yes,
where they're giving up 40 points here, 35 points here? How is it in a team that should be building the culture by the end of the year, even in a lost year with this head coach, how could the Jets allow the Patriots to just spike the ball in their face, run them over 15 times, and laugh at them? There is no pride in the New York Jets under Aaron Glenn.
No, that's what it felt like. It felt like this team didn't care about winning. They didn't care about playing. Other than Breece Hall, by the way, who had a big run at the end of the game. And I was sad that I had him on my fantasy bench because that put him over 20 points. But
well, you can't blame him.
Right, I won anyways, but it was okay. But still, other than him, what was happening that made this team look like they cared? Nothing.
Nothing.
And it was from play calling, from effort, from lack of care. It didn't look like they even cared
right.
that they were getting their asses beat by the New England Patriots. This vaunted rival who dominated them for decades, and all of a sudden they just lay down and don't care. I mean, this game could have been 60 whatever to three.
It was a 7-on-7 scrimmage. It felt like,
dude, they stopped putting their foot on the gas.
Yeah.
After halftime, and this is a Mike Vrabel staple. It's unfortunately why they lost to the Buffalo Bills when they had a 14 or 17 point lead or whatever it was in the second half of that game 2 weeks ago. When Vrabel gets a big lead, he just kind of starts chilling.
Yeah,
and even when he was chilling, he scored points.
Yeah. And he was caught on the sideline kind of mouthing like he doesn't give a bleep. You know, he right. put up whatever points he had to. Tiki, these are the last four games since the Jets beat the Falcons in that 9-3 ugly game. The month of December, 34-10 loss at home to Miami. 48-20 loss on the road in Jacksonville. Losing at New Orleans 29-6 and losing yesterday 42-10. I don't know what the future has this offseason. But when you look at all of the new coaches, whether it's Liam Cohen, whether it's Mike Vrabel, you know, go down the line, all of these teams, Kellen Moore in New Orleans, all of these teams are at least getting, if they're not in playoff position, they're at least getting their teams to buy into the system and buy into the culture by the end of the year. And I know the Jets roster is a long way off, especially after trading Quinn and Williams and Sauce Gardner. And I know they're starting Brady Cook at quarterback, but I brought up some of those other names at quarterback that at least teams are, you know, trying hard and playing hard. I think this is an indictment on Aaron Glenn. And I'm not going to, the easy thing to do would be to turn on the microphone and go, he's got to be one and done as a head coach. I'm not calling for that today. I'm not saying that. But I think you have to have serious doubts today, Tiki, about whether you can envision Aaron Glenn being the actual guy to turn this Jet team around.
Yeah, look, and when we talk about Aaron Glenn, we're talking about the extended staff as well. But
yeah.
I've said this multiple times, and I'll say it again. The job of the head coach is to get a team motivated, get them prepared, so that they feel like they can go into a game and understand that, you know, we have a chance to win. We have everything in front of us. And then lastly, and this is probably the most important one, have them focused on each other so that it doesn't feel like you're just letting someone down when you don't care. And that's what it feels like. It feels like nobody has accountability to one another. And I know it's a jacked up team right now. They don't have a quarterback. But there still has to be some sort of professional pride. And again, Breece Hall played fantastic, which I guess and by extension means that some of the guys on the offensive line did a good job. But from an execution, from a game planning, from a management standpoint, This felt like the worst game I've seen them play in a long time. Now, here's the caveat to this, Sean.
Okay.
What happened yesterday with the Jets losing?
I mean, they rose up the draft board a little bit.
They moved to number three.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. And there's a good chance that the Giants, whatever, they could win against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And the New York Jets, when they lose to the Buffalo Bills next week, could move to number two. Now, I'm not saying they're intentionally tanking, but damn, that's what it felt like.
Yeah, I mean, look, it felt like that, but if that's the case, and you're right, we're not saying they are, they certainly, when they strip down the roster at the trade deadline, you're not using the word tank, but you're not putting the best team on the field for the rest of the year.
Deferred winning.
Deferred winning. Man, if that's part of it, and Aaron Glenn understands that, Aaron Glenn better hope to God that he's keeping this job at the end of the year, because that's the only thing I question back. And Tiki, I think for the Jets' sake, and the Jets fan sanity.
You hope that that's it?
That better be what's going on.
Because, I'm telling you, dude.
Because what scares me about Aaron Glenn right now in the Jets is this. That roster feels so far away. It feels further away than it's ever been in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And you need the quarterback because you see what happens when you don't have one. It's tough to compete and tough to win games. But the Jets, and you have been big on this for a couple of years about trading up, feel like a team that is in no position to be trading all of these assets they accumulated to trade up for a quarterback they don't believe in.
No.
Man, it feels like they need all five of those first-round picks over the next 2 years.
No, you're right. Now, good. The good thing is it's not the offensive line. It's
right.
It's not running back, but it is going to be running back because I don't think they're re-signing Breece Hall. And so you're going to go with Isaiah Davis and what's the kid that got hurt? I'm forgetting his name now.
Oh,
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But whatever, you know what I mean.
Bo Allen?
Yeah, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Doesn't even matter. But my point is, the best player on that team doesn't feel like he's going to be on that team next year.
Braylon Allen.
Exactly. So they've addressed it without addressing it. So they need talent. They need depth. They need defensive playmakers. They need another wide receiver. They most importantly, Sean, you mentioned it, they need a quarterback. And the only way they're getting one, because there's not a ton in free agency. I mean,
no.
You could go get, maybe Geno Smith if he gets cut. You could go get Kirk Cousins when he's free. Like, you could go try. It's not going to feel right.
No.
They need to draft a quarterback. And the issue with the 2026 draft, it is a two-quarterback draft.
Yep.
It is Fernando Mendoza, who, by the way, I don't even know how he's going to work in an NFL locker room. It might be great. It might be like, dude, you are such a nerd.
And a big game for him on Thursday. He could have his stock drop a little bit.
Or Dante Moore.
Yep.
And he might stay. And so there is no way to get a quarterback right now. Unless you overpay for one via trade or free agency. And you just tried that. And I don't think it's going to work again, at least not with the fan base.
And that's what scares me about the Aaron Glenn dilemma. Because, Tiki, the Jets, like you just pointed out, they need to have a quarterback. But they also need a lot of other bodies. Aaron Glenn cannot afford in year two to not have the quarterback situation figured out, stabilized, at least some sign for the future. Because if he doesn't, he's not going to be around for a year three to see when the team does figure out that situation.
Right, another year of this means Aaron Glenn's not the head coach of the New York Jets.
Right, which scares me because it means they know they have the pressure on them already to identify the quarterback position. And when the pressure's on, you might be trading a boatload of picks if you don't finish in the top two. But, hey, the Jets might just be bad enough, and they're going to go into Buffalo next week for the closing of Orchard Park. How do you think that's going to go for the New York Jets in that stadium? 888-808-1019. Giants, Jets, both on the table to start. Plus, I will lay out exactly why I've come to terms with it's not actually worst-case scenario that the Giants won, even though I hated it yesterday.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.